Welcome to the BOTUS podcast. I am Jacek from BOTUS, and today I am bringing to you Dr. Bernd Giesenhagen from Germany. Dr. Giesenhagen is one of the world's leading experts in the field of the bone ring technique. Actually, he is one of the inventors of the allogenic bone ring and the bone ring technique. Many of his colleagues refer to him as the Lord of the Rings. He is working today in his private practice in Kassel, Germany. And today in this podcast, he will be interviewed by my colleague Natalie Martin. Natalie has been working for BOTUS for more than 4 years now. She's an expert in the field of allografts, and she knows Dr. Bernd Giesenhagen very well because together they have been traveling quite a lot to the United States of America in order to train clinicians on the bone ring technique. So they have brought the bone ring and the bone ring technique to North America. So let me hand over now the word to my colleague Natalie.
Thank you, Jacek, for the kind introduction. So as Jacek mentioned before, Bernd and me met, I think, about 4 years ago in my first week at BOTUS. And I don't know if I told you already, Bernd, but I joined a bone ring surgery in your office, and I almost fainted because this was totally new to me. But I kind of pushed through because I thought, okay, if I want to keep this job or if I don't want a bad impression, I should stay alive. As Jacek mentioned, you are the Lord of the Rings, the inventor of the allogenic bone ring technique. Do you want to tell us what the technique is about?
Yes, a little bit. First of all, welcome from my side as well to this podcast. Thank you, Jacek and Natalie, that you give me the chance to contribute a little bit to our project. From the history side, it was like that approximately 2003 or 2004, I don't know exactly, I got an idea to use bone rings from autogenous bone rings harvested from different places intraorally and to use it for augmentation. And it works very well. And the benefit from this bone ring technique, starting with autogenous bone rings, is of course that you can combine bone grafting or bone block transplantation and implantation in one single procedure. So it means we have one surgery less and we save healing time 3 to 6 months, depending on the defect. And this is how it starts. And I did a lot of hundreds of autogenous bone rings. And one day I met my colleague and friend Orchan from Frankfurt. And he was also very interested in the bone ring technique. And more we heard about allograft. And allograft, we thought maybe it could be a good idea to combine the bone ring technique with this allograft bone. And so we got the idea to ask a company, maybe they can produce prefabricated bone rings made out of allograft. And so we get a first contact with a BOTUS company, and they were very open, very much open, and very enthusiastic to join us and to develop this technique. And so it starts, I guess, 6 or 7 years ago. And from this time, we use this prefabricated allograft bone rings from BOTUS in more than 90% of our cases.
Bernd, for the listeners who don't know the bone ring technique, can you tell us what it is all about?
Yeah. So bone ring technique is made for compensation of huge bony defects, three-dimensional defects. And the bone ring is a cylindric designed graft with an implant bed in the middle. So it means with a rig, with a special instruments, I prepare at the recipient side a ring bed, and then the ring fits very precise into this ring bed, compensating the defect. And through the ring, I insert my implant into the local bone. Again, benefit, I can combine bone block transplantation and implantation in one single step procedure. And for that, we develop also special instruments fitting only to the bone ring technique. And in 99% of my cases, or I think worldwide, colleagues use 6 or 7 millimeter diameter of rings.
Okay, so 2014, you and your Ochan got involved with Botis. So you approached Botis, or how did you find out about the company?
Yeah. We approached Botis because we just looking at the market, who the tissue banks and companies they produce biomaterial, and there was a very interesting article and contact, our first contact. This was a very young company, so very open to many new ideas. And on top, they had products what I like very much. This is a membrane, Jason membrane. Maybe later we will talk a little bit more in detail about this membrane and also about the bone graft material, Cerebo. Also, I think later we have the chance to talk a little bit more in detail about this project. And this all three things together convinces me very much that we have a portfolio on products where we can use this bone ring technique in a safe way with allograft rings.
Can you tell us a little bit why the combination of allogenic bone rings, a great barrier membrane, and a xenogenic, in our case, a bovine bone substitute, is relevant for the bone ring technique?
Yeah. Again, a little bit back to the history. When we use autogenous bone rings, we had three reasons to cover the ring or the bone graft with a thin layer of non or slow resorbable bone graft material. The first reason is we know that bone graft, doesn't matter what kind of design, has a so-called adaptation resorption in the healing period. And you can avoid this adaptation resorption if you cover the graft with a thin layer of non or slow resorbable bone graft material. And the Cerebone is an ideal material for that. And if you use this particulated bone graft material, you have to keep to cover it or to fix it with a membrane. And that's why we decided to use this Jason membrane, because it stands approximately three months. And so we have a safe situation to keep the allograft ring very stable. And I forgot to tell you a second reason why we use this particulated bone graft material is sometimes we have some gaps or exposed threads during the surgery. And then you can make a horizontal augmentation with this particulated bone graft material. And the third reason, if you use this particulated bone graft material, you have the chance to design this area on top, and it depending on the aesthetic requirements.
Okay, just for the listeners who are not familiar with the Botis product, so Cerebone is a bovine bone substitute that is manufactured only with two natural ingredients, heat and water, and is the purest and most stable bovine bone we know in the dental market. Jason membrane is a porcine pericardial membrane, and as Bernd said, has a natural prolonged degradation time for about 3 to 6 months. But you mentioned that there's different indications for the bone ring technique. What is the most popular in your dental office?
Yeah, this is, I think the question should be, what is a contraindication? Because
okay, we can talk about that first.
Because there's only from the defect side, only one real contraindication. It is if you have a very thin crest and the crest stays thin, parallel thin down to the bottom. And this is a contraindication because in a case like that, you are not able to insert an implant. And that's why you have to do two-stage surgeries in a case like that. But almost all other indications, I can use a ball ring technique. Very nice. And one of the most popular indications is, of course, a aesthetic zone in the frontal maxilla. A very nice indication is the sinus lifting. If you have a paper thin sinus floor and you are not able to stabilize your implant in 1 or 2 millimeter bone left on the sinus floor, and then you can stabilize the implant with a bone ring inside of the sinus and outside with a so-called fixation cap.
Okay, so this fixation cap, this comes together with the implant. So which implant systems do you recommend for the bone ring technique?
I use, of course, because we have a lot of doctors who send patients to me, but 90% of my bone ring cases are done with Straumann BLT implants. And especially for the bone ring technique, the company developed a so-called fixation cap. And this the fixation cap comes along with a cover screw. And this cover screw has a thread inside. So both together is this fixation cap, which I use to stabilize a bone ring in case there is a little mobility left, or in a case like I told you, when I use a ring technique to stabilize implants in a papers and sinus floor.
Going back to the indications, you mentioned that the aesthetic zone is especially interesting. I want to talk a little bit about the technique and the education around it, because I can imagine if clinicians, your colleagues hear this, they shouldn't start with aesthetic zone. They should get proper education, especially since in the aesthetic zone the outcome is even more relevant than in the sinus. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is what I think is the biggest. The biggest point we should point out, the bone ring technique in general is a very sensitive technique. And if someone is interested to use this technique, he shouldn't start with a case in the aesthetic zone or with a sinus lifting. You should choose more easy cases. Maybe if you have a lateral bony defect in the premolar area, for example. And because if you use this technique, you also have to be aware that the soft tissue wound closure is the key of the success. And if you are able to keep your soft tissue close on top of your ring, it will heal 100%. But there are so many different techniques to achieve this tension-free wound closure. That's why we recommend, if you want to start with a bone ring technique, join courses, come and get the education about not only about how to fix a bone ring, also how to teach or how to treat the soft tissue in a gentle way to get a tension-free wound closure.
Yeah, we as Botis, we run a course every year in Vienna, a two-day course where we also talk about the shell technique with cortical plates and customized bone blocks.
Bone builders.
Yeah, as Jacek mentioned, we also run courses in the US where the course is mandatory in order to even place bone rings, which I think is underlining that the bone ring technique is a sensitive approach and should be handled with care.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, since we did this very well-structured courses in the United States on human cadavers, the success rate of the bone ring technique increases a lot because these people joining the course get a real good education. And after using joining the course, they should be able to do it on their own patients, of course.
Okay, I want to go back to the development of the allogenic rings. You mentioned that allogenic rings are a consequence of the development in collaboration with Botis. So why did you choose to do it with allogenic rings? Or what is your opinion, allografts versus autograft?
When we think about to use prefabricated rings out of allograft, we look at the papers, we look at the signed scientific situation, and more we got papers where we get the knowledge that allograft works very well if you do it in the right well and if you have the right material. And we have a study done with to compare allograft and autogenous bone rings, and at the end we have the same results. And this is what convinces me to recommend my patients nowadays to use these allograft rings instead of autogenous bone rings.
And if you ask the patient, do they also prefer the allogenic rings? I mean, I would
say 98%. 98%, of course, because when I explain them how we do it and that we can avoid a second wound to for harvesting a bone ring intraorally, and so the trauma is a little bit less if you just open a box and take a prefabricated ring. But this is not the real question, the trauma. The real question is the result the same at the end? And I know from my experience and also from the science side, if you do it in the right way and you choose the right indication, you will have the same result at the end if you use autogenous ball rings or allograft rings.
Yeah, I know that there is still an ongoing debate whether bone harvested from the patient or from a box is the best choice, also in the aspect of resorption. I know 2019 you published an article together with Thomas Nord, your protege, who is now also an associate in your clinic. And you compare the differences of autogenous and allogenic bone rings. Can you tell us what you found out?
Yes, not in detail, but in general, we see no difference in the resorption. Let's say we have a resorption after 1, 2, 4, or 5 years of loading, about 3 to 5 millimeter. And this is what you find in each other papers. It doesn't matter if you use blocks, rings, or which kind of designs. So we are on the same level like other techniques. And this convinces me to recommend my patients, if they ask me what is the best, to use these rings for out of allograft.
Yeah, if the listeners are interested in a more deep dive into these mentioned studies, maybe leave a comment and we can see if we can have Thomas Nord on the line to explain us a little bit more about this study in the future. Is there anything you want to address to your colleagues who start with this technique or have been using it but don't anymore? What they should keep in mind or what sensitive...
If you decide to use something new, to do something new, you will have a learning curve. And there are colleagues who say, okay, I know it, I have a learning curve, but if I have 1 or 2 missuccesses, doesn't matter, at the end it will work. And if you pass this learning curve and you use this bone ring technique successfully, I know it from other colleagues, you do nothing else. You can solve so many problems, so many indications using the bone ring technique. But again, the education, to get a real tough education in terms of bone crafting and soft tissue management, this is the key. 100% of my failures are related somehow to the soft tissue. And if I heard something that patients, that colleagues have problems using the bone ring technique, it's always the same, that they told me they have a descense of the flap, and to handle this descense is a completely different story. And that's why the soft tissue management and the well-structured education is the key of the success.
Yeah, I also see that most of your colleagues have difficulties in treating vertical defects that are especially challenging. What advice would you have for your colleagues? Would you start with less vertical aspects or...
My My advice is not to start with a vertical defect in a hypertrophic distal mandibula, because this is the king class of augmentation. And you should do some bone ring cater, easy educations, and then you can start maybe one day first time to go for a vertical augmentation in the hypertrophic distal mandibula. This is really the most challenging indication.
Yeah, the mandible is also not so well vascularized, so it's more difficult to place any bone blocks in if it's a bone ring or another GBS.
Doesn't matter what kind of technique. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience, Bernd. I think I covered everything I wanted to say. I hope everybody enjoyed today's podcast. Please leave a like and a comment and stay tuned.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the chance and the honor to talk to you.